You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Okay, I am so excited to be with Caitlin Smith.
Hello!
In my house.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, I'm so happy.
It's a beautiful day. The sun is shining.
Yeah.
And here we are, drinking coffee.
Trying to set up in-home camera studios. You're looking great.
Thanks.
New album out. Man, so we did a podcast right when the pandemic hit.
Yes.
And you had just released Supernova.
Right.
And that was like a bittersweet moment for you, I feel like, because you had made this beautiful album and then the pandemic hit.
It was like maybe more bitter than sweet. It was a bummer.
God,
it was a big bummer.
Life can be such a bummer sometimes.
But it was a bummer for everybody. You know?
I know, but it's like...
But that was my bummer.
Tell me about that bummer, because I think about like all that it takes to like put your heart and soul into this music career.
Yeah.
And everything that you have to give to this career, these songs, to bring them to life and your performances, and it's just everything. And then to have the bummer of it, how do you move past that? Because you did move past that, and you made another album, High and Low.
Totally.
And it's amazing.
Well, I mean, I remember we had a big year planned for 2020 with the release of Supernova, and I was on the road with Little Big Town. We were going to do the Maren Morris tour. Like, it was just going to be a big fun time, right?
Oh man, you had that tour lined up too.
Yeah,
it was. And does it just go away?
Yeah,
like you don't get to get on the next tour.
Just went away.
Oh, what?
It's so sad.
Such
a bummer. You know, and so really, like, I took the weekend because we were in Detroit getting the night before we were supposed to play a Little Big Town, and they canceled the whole tour. I was having a martini on a pink velvet couch. It felt like a movie.
So, like,
my manager was like, listen, kid, you got to get a rental car. You got to go home. And like, I was like.
So you were actually ready to start the whole tour. You're like, you were
like,
there.
Like, we were there to start another run. To start another run and get ready to promo the record. I was going to go to New York, all the thing. Anyways, I do remember just getting in the rental car, my husband and I, and driving and just wanting to be back with our babies. And, you know, it feeling like, okay, let's just get to them, feel safe. And then it was definitely a mourning period of like, oh, this sucks. We had like big plans and you know, so I cried a lot. But then I also turned to writing, like pretty much right away. I called up some of my best friends and I was like, hey, what are you doing? Yeah, let's stop looking at the news and let's just like write. And so...
Did you write a lot of this new album?
A lot of this new album was written on Zoom, kind of in that period of like... of the low, really.
Yeah. So. I love this album because it's like the highs and the low. Man,
yeah.
Lately, that song, I'm like, these songs are anthems. Yeah. And High, because Miley Cyrus cut that song too.
She did.
I mean, you write anthems. Like songs that move you to your core.
Man. Well, thanks.
Tell me how that came about, because I know you produced this yourself and you, which is huge. I mean, huge. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It was like something I've always been curious about. But I didn't see any other female artists like doing it. Especially, I moved to town 13 years ago. There was nobody.
From Minnesota.
No, but from Minnesota. And there was nobody producing their own records, no females. And I was like, okay, well, maybe that's just not a thing that I'll do.
But you always wanted to.
But I always wanted to, you know. And after years of like doing my own demos and kind of like making other records, being kind of, you know, letting other wonderful producers take the reins, like, I learned so much, just a sponge from these people. But when it came to this record, I was doing a lot of my own demos at home because I had to, and kind of playing around. And I was like, I miss this. Like it brought me back to this space of being 16 years old, and I had like a Pro Tools rig in my basement, and my brother was in my band, and my dad like filled our basement with music instruments, and so I would just come home from school, high school, and just play and make stuff. And like, it was a space that like was really, really happy at that point of my life. But, you know, I kind of lost it, right?
It's easy to lose it.
I lost that. And so kind of COVID forced me to just like
find it again,
which is kind of cool. And then I was like, wow, maybe I want to do something like this for my next record. And a good friend of mine, Jen DeSilvio, who we wrote High together, maybe in Another Life, like we've written a bunch of the songs on this record and the last one. She's an incredible writer, but also like a badass producer. And she was like such a voice of like, girl, you can do this. Like, just try it. What's worse that can happen? Like, you just, it sucks and then you start over.
Because that's a real moment there. Like, we're saying it quickly in this conversation. You're like, you have this friend encouraging, you want to do it. You're like, okay, I'm going to try. But there's a lot of feelings behind that. Because to do something like that, where you're putting yourself out there,
right,
you're not going to produce your own album. And I read another interview that you did, and you said you could feel like the actual like growing pains or like the tension.
Oh, it was uncomfortable.
Getting through it was uncomfortable. Getting through that growing pain, getting through that step, that is the hardest part.
Because you're coming toe to toe with your fear in that moment. And my fear, like, and my insecurity really is what it was.
And you're like literally walking right into it.
Like literally just having to sit and look at it and go through it. It's, like, wow, I'm really insecure and I have to direct this band in how I want this song to come out. And I have to be confident,
but
I'm not really sure. And it just was like, just diving.
So how do you start that process? Like, how do you even start walking through that? Because that is a huge moment.
I think, like, I tried to prepare on the front as much as I could with just like becoming a student of like production and just listening to my favorite records and like listening to the drum sounds and listening to guitar tones and listening to like the spaces, you know, and like just taking notes, right? And I made like a playlist of like, well, this is the music that moves me. That
who was on that list?
I mean, it is a plethora of artists. So it's everything from Whitney Houston to Harry Styles to Wilco to Etta James to Ava Cassidy to Patti Griffin, Dixie Chicks. Like literally it's kind of all over the map.
But I feel that in your music.
But it's kind of all in there, right?
Yeah,
like, oh yeah, this sounds like Harry Styles like background vocal moment, and this sounds like this fiddle kind of reminds me of the Dixie Chicks a little bit, but also a little bit like Wilco. Like it's kind of all in there. And so anyways, I studied and I leaned into what I loved. And then I also got a great engineer that can really walk alongside of me. And so I was listening to these records and I was like, who is engineering these? Like I was listening to a Stapleton record and I saw the name Gina Johnson. And so a friend of mine introduced us. We got coffee. So turns out this girl.
And I love that it's a girl.
I love that it's a girl, right? There's no girl engineers, like hardly all.
But
like,
of course, that's who you love. Isn't that awesome?
Exactly. Well, turns out that she's from Minnesota, obviously, from the town that my grandparents are from. So like,
not shocking.
Instant kindred spirits. And so the great thing was is Gina's an incredible engineer. She also has like a great producer like ear as well. And so she was like, you can do this and I'll help you. And so she really was like the wind beneath my wings in this project. And so, you know, having this kind of support team, I also like in this period of this record, like switched over a bunch of my team and actually unintentionally just changed it to a lot of women. And so I landed in this space of like just surrounded by a lot of support and safety, like a safety net. And it was really a beautiful place to be because I think it also like it enabled me to crack myself open in a different way. Mm. Like I think of like practically what that means is like, let's say I was in the studio cutting vocals and Gina, and we did it at Gina's house. She's got a space in East Nashville. And she's got like a little room that she does vocals in. It doesn't have any windows. It's just like, so you can't see her. You can't see anything.
Is that nice?
And it was like kind of game changing to me because like, I didn't have to like put makeup on, go to the studio.
Yeah.
Like even just being surrounded by women, you don't realize how much your guard can come down.
Yes.
Like, you know.
Yes.
Because I'm like, oh, if it's a dude, like I kind of want at least.
You want to.
I'm going to brush my teeth. Yeah. I'm going to like at least comb my hair. I don't know. Like.
Yeah.
Just be a little more presentable. But I just feel like that kind of was a domino effect in a way.
You could unhinge a little bit.
Where it's like, okay, so I'm in this room where no one can see me. And like, I felt like I was able to just be as raw as I ever have been in a vocal booth. Cry, you know, whatever, like do whatever weird things I need to with my body to get.
And no one's watching you.
Nobody's watching me. It's just for myself.
Oh, that's freedom.
Where it's like all the other times I made records, like
people are watching
you. The producer can see you or whoever can see you. The engineer can see you. And it's like, you're still, you know, being observed. And so it was so interesting to be in that space.
Because no matter how incredible of an artist you are, which you are the most incredible, you still are influenced by people watching you.
Totally.
So to have no influence of eyes watching you when you're putting your vocal out there in the most raw form,
right,
that has to be just a huge liberating experience.
It was so liberating. I mean, even being able to take these files, put them on my own computer and like edit, you know, spend the whole day like editing strings and like nobody else is there. It's just me and these strings parts and like take the big machine away and just get down to like, what do I like?
You. Just you. What so this I? Was for you. This was, album was yours.
Really? Yeah.
I mean, truly. People can always say all the music they make is for themselves, but like then all the different people get involved, producers, labels, everyone has an opinion. This one was yours.
I mean, it was. And if I'm like, let's go back to like, okay, we were talking about Supernova. Like if I think about that time period, like think about the whole, I've made 3 records on Monument, you know, and I made
your label.
I'm my record label. The first record I made before I signed with the label, and then they bought the record, put it out.
And that one's called
and it's called Starfire.
Starfire, yeah.
And then with Supernova, all of a sudden there were a lot of voices.
So
there
Starfire,
was a lot of opinions.
Was Starfire kind of a similar experience to High and Low, because like, you made it on your own?
Because I made it on my own. It was just me and Paul Moak, who's a brilliant producer.
Oh, he's so great.
He's a genius.
Yeah.
And so, and we just were like, let's just pick songs that we love and let's make it sound like we love. No pressure. So it was like a no pressure record. So proud of it. Supernova, I was like, okay, there's a lot of voices. I don't know what to do coming off of like the success of Starfire. And so I made a lot of that record in LA. And I also, instead of doing the hard thing of just like listening to myself, I started listening to a lot of other people.
That's what
I found myself chasing.
It's so easy
like,
to do.
Like, oh,
that.
If you just made it a little bit more like this, like a little bit more like Adele, a little bit more like that, then we could get it on AC radio or like whatever. Mm. So then there's like voices and like agendas.
Isn't that so interesting? Because I feel like all of these people that we get on our team or whatever, they're here to help.
Yeah.
But they also come with their own very strong ideas and opinions about you, who is now, like, you're not just a person anymore. You're not an artist. You are, like, a brand. You right. are a product.
Right.
And it gets viewed. It starts getting put through that. And, like, it just happens over and over and over again to incredible artists. Like, it just always happens.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's, you feel like, oh, it's not going to happen to me or whatever, but it just, it's almost impossible not to have
it's
it happen.
It's really hard. And I think, well, another thing happened during that second record was that after we came out of the COVID season, I re-released the album, but I put on a little duet with featuring Old Dominion.
Oh, yeah.
And so this opened the door then for me to go to country radio, which was awesome. And like, had that ride, good times. But coming off of that, I definitely felt this pressure to like, oh, well, I have to make another radio song. Have to make something that radio is going to want to play. So I definitely like, you know, so there's definitely some chasing in that season. And, you know, Downtown Baby is a part of High and Low, because it's part of this journey, right? And it is a part of me. I love to just get drunk and crazy in New York. That's what the song's about.
Yes, please.
And so, but it is a part of like that last bit of me like chasing.
That song was before on the album. Okay, interesting you say that, because I was listening to your album and that one did feel like the most commercial one.
Right.
Yeah. Totally. Which just feels great. It's a great song. But yeah. Okay, interesting.
I chased properly. Thank you. And we went to country radio with it. And the hard thing was, is like, I was like, I like this song, but it's also not like the song sword that I want to die on.
Which song sword do you want to die on?
I mean, like, maybe in another life, but it's a ballad and no one wants to play a ballad. Or like, and, you know, or High, but like no one, like,
did demographic Miley put that song out?
She put it on her Plastic Hearts record.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. I mean, oh my God. Okay. Crazy. So you, and I've obviously love you and I've stalked you a lot about this album though, but you said Alaska's getting a lot of response, and that song like cut me to the core.
Man, thank you.
Where did that come from?
It's actually like shocking to me how many people are like posting about it. And
well, because like who in a marriage or whatever hasn't like hit moments where you're like, oh my God, man. Or like, what are we gonna drift apart? Or totally. What is this? What are we doing?
I mean, this is, it's one of the realest songs I've probably ever released. And the rawest songs too. It's the rawest song in the record because it's like the pain that I'm closest to out of all of the songs. There's a lot of memories I dig into, but like that's the most.
How do you mean the pain that you're closest to?
In the sense of like Raul and I, you know, being in Minnesota was really isolating over COVID. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard. And I say like winter came and it got cold in all senses of the word, right? And we really just, we went through a hard time. And but we've been married 13 years, and it's like, that's what marriage is just a series of highs and lows and working through it. But just getting really vulnerable and raw about the distance that we were experiencing, like, I mean, it's hard stuff to say out loud.
How was he with it?
But I played him the song. I was afraid to play him the song a little bit, like, cause I was like, this might hurt his feelings. I played him the song, and he said, this is an incredible song. It's like the first response. He goes, it's really hard to hear, but it's really good. And I was like, thank you, I'm sorry.
But how amazing that you can put those feelings into a song, you know, instead of like into like a big fight, or instead of into more distance, or instead of into whatever. It's like you can actually put it into a song that's so makes me tear.
Right. I know.
Because it's like marriage is like, Michael and I have been married now. We've been, I don't even know. I think it's, are we like 9 years, 10 years? I've lost track. Right. We've gone through some major highs and lows.
Yeah.
And that is what marriage is. It's like literally walking through this life with someone. And sometimes you're at the freaking soaring like a shooting star in the sky.
You're riding a roller coaster. It's the best time.
And other times you're like, holy shit. Like, this is like some serious heavy stuff. Like,
wait, I'm with you? Oh my gosh.
And then you have a family, which you love, but it's
totally.
Like, it's just a lot. And it's a beautiful, it's the most beautiful thing. And it's like when you get on the other side of the lows, It makes your marriage so much stronger, and you're, it's such something to be so proud of, but like you got to weather the storms.
Totally. And it's, I mean, that one was a doozy, but we got a really good therapist. I feel so grateful for her. And we started doing this. Have you ever heard of EFT therapy?
Is that where you like rewire your brain?
Emotionally
or something?
Focused therapy. Well, I mean, I guess it is some sort of rewiring, but it's really more like really getting to the empathy, to that empathy with each other. Mm. And I don't know, it definitely changed the entire way that we talk to each other in our marriage. And I feel so grateful for that. I want to tell everybody about it. Everybody That's go amazing. Check out EFT. I'm a big, big fan.
So, awesome.
Yeah. But thank God for therapy. And an also a songwriter husband that understands that sometimes we just got to write our way through it.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days. And take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
And I think that that's what I really admire about your songs too is, and I was actually talking to Allie, who is no longer my intern anymore because she's graduating from college.
Aww. But she's been my intern for the past 2 years and it's been amazing.
You're one of those artists to me that is like, you've had this strong current about you for a long, long time. Like you're one of those artists that like you have such a force with you. Like, and your music is so powerful. You've had so many cuts for other artists, like big cuts. You've been on huge tours. You have made great music. You just got nominated for ACM, like new artist, new female artist of the year. You've had this like rumble, this strong rumble forever, you know, like, and you see some people like a Morgan Wallen or something, they like shoot up in their in arenas like within 2 years or whatever. But it's like, that doesn't happen for everyone. But like, you have this like, just a solid, just, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like, you're just so good. It's like you're etched in the history books already of like so how great you are. And it's like, you keep having amazing things happen, but it's, I mean, it's not like you're singing, you are singing national anthems all over the place. So, you know, it's not like, but it's not like you're selling out arenas yet, but it's like you have.
Still trying to sell out a club.
No, but you have this greatness that you just carry with you. And it's, you're one of those people that is just this artist. You are just born to be an artist. Your music is incredible. Everyone who finds you feels it and knows it. Other artists, see, it's like, have you just always known? Because you're just one of the ones that was born great, I feel like.
Wow, that's really nice.
I feel like some people can have some hits and have like some big bolts of lightning and flashes, but not everyone is just born great. And a lot of those people are great too. I'm probably mumbling and like not even saying this correctly. I'm trying to basically no. say you're just so
really nice.
The threads that make you up are just so powerful. It is like a Patty Griffin. It is like a Lori McKenna. It's like that, but plus it's then the soaring ballads, and it's just, you're just a really special artist.
Man.
And you're a songwriter on top of it. Like, you have the songwriter element too, like the depth of songwriting.
Thank you. I mean, I don't know. Like, when I look back at my career, I see it as a long and winding road for sure. And, you know, when I first came to Nashville, I think I was 16.
16?
16 years old. It's a long time
ago. Did your parents come with you?
My mom did.
Did you move here?
Nope. We just took a trip. And I remember, like, wanting to go because I had made a little record, independent record, and that's where you go is Nashville. And, like, at 16, I remember thinking, I'm going to get a record deal this year, and I'm going to start touring. Like, I wanted it, like, so early. And so, like, I saw the whole picture as, like, a kid.
You knew it.
I knew it. But it's just, like, definitely... doesn't just turn out where you walk into town and get a record deal. And it was a long and winding road to get to where I could really step into my artist shoes. But on, I remember on that trip, you know, falling in love with Music City, but also seeing that it's Songwriter City.
Mm.
And there's this whole community of creators that just write songs for people. And then I saw, you know, that while all of my favorite artists that have had long-lasting careers have consistently released great songs. They either write them or they cut them. And so, you know, as a teenager, I was like, okay, then I need to figure out how to write great songs. So it was a million trips back and forth for years and years. I finally signed my first publishing deal then at 23. So it was a long journey.
Wow.
And I played bars and churches and whatever I could in Minneapolis to save up some money. So I was playing like the music circuit up in Minnesota, and then I would come and crash on couches in Nashville. And
so you're dedicated.
And so I was dedicated at a really young age. But all that to say, like, even at 23, signing a publishing deal, I was like, okay, writing songs. This really is plan B. Like, I've always wanted to be the artist.
Mm.
The crazy thing is like, my plan B with writing kind of took off, like, unexpectedly.
What was your first big one that took off?
My first big cut was Jason Aldean on the My Kind of Party record, which is like,
huge.
It went like four times platinum or something. It was like, it was a massive record.
And how so, old were like, you when that happened?
And I was probably 24, 25, somewhere around
so
there.
So that's like exciting.
It was so exciting. It was crazy exciting. Like, oh my gosh. And then I was like, right after that, it was like Rascal Flatts and then like Kenny and Dolly. And like,
there's a series Dolly. Of like,
yeah,
I mean, come
within
on.
Like a year of time, like all these cuts.
You
happened,
had Meghan Trainor and John Legend. That was later.
Yeah, that was later.
That was a big hit.
That was huge. That still pays the bills. Thanks, Meghan. Thanks, John.
Yeah.
I feel grateful for that. But it's like this whole writing thing, it's like,
are you pitching your songs or are people just hearing them?
Well, other, like, publishers are, or you're in the room with the artist
okay. And
writing with them. It just depends.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that was so fun, like, kind of living in this space of songwriter. But I'll tell you, a few years in, and after kind of getting a handful of those cuts, it got harder to give the songs away.
Mm.
So I was going around to record labels and like, pitch playing them my songs, hoping that, like, hey,
they must sign me.
They sign me.
Hello.
And like, this is such a great song. We just signed such and such act from The Voice. Do you want, can we please put this on their record?
Is that like a dream killer?
It was a total dream killer.
Because here you are with this phenomenal voice, and you're the songwriter, and you're an incredible artist. And you're like, why are you not seeing right
It was very hard. And so they're like, so I was like, yeah, they can cut that. Because I was like, I like making money, I guess. So, like, sure.
But it has to be so frustrating because you're such an artist. And, like, here, and I'm no dogging on people from The Voice or anything like that, but it's like you've been doing this for so long. You are so rich and rooted in your artistry, and you're so great at it. So, just to get, like, skipped over for the hot flash, it's just so frustrating. That's where this town can break you.
Yeah.
in so many ways.
It's so, that is like, it is a hard thing, but it's like, it's also like a continual, it's been a continual lesson of just keeping my blinders on, which is very hard for me. I look around a lot. And this town looks around a lot. Yeah. How is this person's career going? Oh, what are they doing? What are they doing? Oh, why do they have that? And it's like kind of this yucky narrative that happens in this town, but it's like, that's a joy stealer.
Mm-hmm.
And I've like had to continually remind myself to just stop looking around and just keep my head down and focus on making great music and just keep taking baby steps forward. Right. Yeah. Keep climbing the mountain. Because like, the things that you know would be great to have, sure, radio hit or a big song just pops off, or you have that moment and like, cool, now you're selling a ton of tickets, and like those are like, I like to think of them like one-ups on a video game, or like, you know, in Mario we can like skip all the levels.
Yeah.
It's lightning in a bottle, like, and some people get so lucky and that happens, it happens right away and it's so exciting, it's awesome. But also like, you know, some artists that I love, like, I think of, like, Brandi Carlile.
Oh, my God.
That girl, like, just marched. She marched to the beat of her own drum, and she just kept making great music, kept showing up.
Yeah.
And, she was on record, like, 5 or 6 until she got recognized for, like, by the Grammys.
I have to think about it this way, though. I really have to think about it this way. Because, like, being a former artist, my husband being an artist, like, just going through so many things in life now at this point, like, turning 40 this year, and I look at life so differently than I did when I was 20, when I was 19 and I moved to this town. Because when I was 19 and I moved to this town, it was all about the accolades, you know. It's like getting the record deal, getting the single, getting
check the boxes,
getting
on
the manager, getting the tours, getting the fame, being the starlet, all that stuff. It was like, that is what felt like success was,
right?
And now here I am 20 years later, being in this career for so long, seeing so many creatives like yourself, myself, my husband, like just walking this walk for 20 years and seeing the people who, all different forms of success, all different forms of talent, all different forms of creativity being expressed. But it's like, maybe it's not the best to jump the levels and get the huge success in the beginning, because you get it and like all of a sudden you have this recognition, but like that kind of recognition and that kind of extreme fame, like that can really wreck your life.
It is,
and create a ton of problems.
Shocking.
You know,
I've had a lot of friends where it's been like very quick, and it's like it's jarring. It's really jarring.
It can really like damage you in other ways, you know. And so it's like, sometimes when you do have them more slow and steady, just committed to your talent, to your greatness, when you do get your moment like Brandi had at the Grammys, it's like she's ready. She's so ready.
She's been working,
she knows
every day
who
of her life
she is. She's been knocked down so many times. She's not glamored by any of it. She's not scared to use her voice how she wants to,
right?
You know, like you get past all those things that will like maybe weigh you down if you're if you're trying to like hang on to the rocket ship,
right?
But when you lose the rocket ship, or when you don't ever have it, you're just like doing you, then it's like you really build you who you are as an artist.
That's so beautiful.
It's a pain in the ass, though.
It is a pain in the
ass. It's a total pain in the ass. It sucks the life out of you.
And it's like, I mean, on my first record, I've got a song called This Town Is Killing Me, and it was like, you know, kind of about the journey of trying to get the record deal and trying to like get people to notice, and just it wasn't happening. And so that was like my heartbreak song to Nashville. But it's interesting how I still like very much can pull that song up and be like, oh, I still feel this right now. And like how it doesn't, I don't know. It's the same game. And then I think
so
you
fast.
Just,
it changes so fast.
It changes so fast. I know.
And like over COVID, like those past 2 years, like it became a TikTok town overnight. And then all of a sudden, if you're not
TikTok
like
TikTok town, that's
if you're not a huge star on TikTok, you're not getting signed. It's like you get lost in the new hottest trend or the new hottest thing. It's like, I remember when American Idol came out. If you weren't on American Idol, you weren't going to get signed. You know,
so true. It's so true.
It's always a hot flash in the pan.
But it's like, okay, there's the game that everybody plays, but then like if you zoom out. Like, I think the people who change the game, the people who last, voices that last, they didn't play by the rules.
And that's you.
And they play by their own game.
That's what I was trying to tell you with my jumbled jargon of speech earlier. You're playing your own game.
They play their own game. And maybe
it takes
longer.
You're making great music for yourself because you love it.
Yeah.
because it's your artistry.
Right.
And that's what artistry is. Like, it's like really expressing what's in your soul.
Right.
It takes a lot of bravery to do that.
It really does. But it also takes practice. It takes practice to crack yourself open in that way and live in that space. I don't know. I don't know what else to say.
I know.
I feel like I've been practicing a lot.
I know. I'm like, literally, I feel like a wet dog right now. I'm looking at my hair and my hair is a reflection of how I feel. I'm just going to check the time. I'm just make sure we're doing okay. I feel burnt out lately. Like, I just feel like I'm not uninspired because I'm like continuously inspired by like creatives like yourself, like talking to you. Like, it's like a jolt of energy for me. I always feel so inspired having these kind of conversations because like getting to be in the room with dreamers who are like doing their dream and like going for it and going through the fire and like having the highs and the lows and like actually just like doing it. That is just the noblest to me. It's just like, that is just the bravest, most noble thing you can do to express your soul. And it takes everything you have. So like, I find that so incredibly inspiring to like be next to you and talk to you and like get to like hear your journey because it takes everything you have to do it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I just, that you get this season of burnout where I'm like, I've been doing this town for so long. Michael's been doing this for so long. I have so many friends. And it's like, sometimes I'm just like, what is it all for? Like, what is any of it for? And then you just have to get back to why you want to do it.
Yeah. You get back to your why. I mean,
what's your why?
Burnout is what is my why? I mean, I want to be a fully alive person, right? Oh. And so what that looks like in all the aspects of my life is that, you know, that I can just be the best version of myself, showing up for myself, showing up for my husband, showing up for my kids. And I want to create beautiful things. I want to create, man, all the way down to like building a garden, planting flowers, to writing songs, to painting, to whatever it is, to making babies. I don't know. My hope is to just inspire other people to do that too. I mean, I very vividly remember the people that I've met along the way that have inspired me.
Who are some of those?
I mean, early on, I think of like my grandma and both my grandmothers, my mom, were such like beautiful artists in their own ways. And then there was one wonderful woman named Marnie in high school. She was like our youth group pastor's wife, and she was like literally the shining star. Like, I was like, I just need to be like her. And I just feel like I've had these pillars of women in my life, teachers. My English teacher was like that. Like, just like, and I think when I think back to all of like all these really important women, it's like they just were unapologetically like shining.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union
can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
That's been hard for... Okay, so the is it The Great Pretender? Is that
the Great Pretender?
Okay, I relate to that song so much because that has been me forever. And I think that's why I'm in a burnout season right
that
now.
That is... I mean, yeah.
Because I finally like quit trying to be something to just for everyone.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, that song kind of goes back to like... I think about... I don't know how you grew up, but like I remember we grew up going to church and... We'd be on our way to church and we'd be like fighting in the car as family. We'd be like, I hate you. Like screaming at each other. And then my dad would be like, okay, we're here, everybody.
Put on your church face.
Everybody look happy. Which is so funny because everybody, I'm sure every other family pulling up to the church is doing that.
Yes.
Everybody does that.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. And so it's like, it started at a young age. Also as a performer at a young age. So it's like... You're just like, everybody wants you to sing. Everyone wants you to be on, right?
And once dazzle, you start being the star kind of person at a young age, then you're always supposed to kind of be
pull
the star.
Play your guitar, play something for everybody. And it's like, dance, dance, clown, like whatever it is. Like, and so I think that's like kind of ingrained in me at least. And then I think becoming a young adult and also like social media. We all just like put on our filters and put only our highlight reels and we don't really tell our families what's going on. We don't really tell our families who we are. We start hiding parts of ourselves because we're afraid of what other people are going to think.
Yeah.
And it's like we're all now guilty of just like living with some sort of mask.
Yes.
And it's like exhausting. That's what I found.
Exhausting.
I don't know. It was like turning 36 and I was like, just like watching my last give a fuck fly away. And I was like, I don't need to act like this.
I felt the same thing like happened to me.
So tiring.
I was like, I'm going back.
Who am I trying to impress?
I'm going back to dyeing my hair blonde because I realized I don't like it brown anymore. But like, I literally was like, why am I dyeing my hair blonde? Why am I getting Botox? Why am I getting eyelash extensions? Why am I wearing these types of clothes? Why am I going out to every single event? Why am I always people pleasing and going into a crowd in a room and like work in the room and being so happy?
Hey,
like,
everybody, I'm the party. Yeah.
Why am I doing this? Like, I finally was like, what am I doing any of this for and who?
Yeah.
Because as soon as you step out of the game, you're forgotten. So like, am I just trying to keep up? Like, what am I
doing? I think that's what it
is.
Yeah.
Do I just need everyone to always like me and think about me?
That's so exhausting.
It's exhausting.
Because if you can just like give yourself what it is you're looking for, whatever that is, probably approval, like telling yourself like you're good enough just as you are with blonde hair or not, right?
Yeah.
Like if you can just learn to like give that to yourself instead of constantly need it from other people.
Yeah, like need to hear, oh my gosh, you're so great. You're so talented. You look great. You're awesome. But like what? Because I don't feel like I'm good enough if I don't hear that.
Yeah, I think that's what it was for me for sure.
Me too. If I don't get the validation, then maybe I'm actually not great at anything.
I found a phrase when I was kind of doing, I went through a period like, I think after I had my kids where I just did a lot of work.
I think kids will do that to you.
And I was like, I need to be a better version of what's going on here for myself, but also for them.
Agreed.
So I'm not a just crazy mom.
Right. You know why
they don't want to talk to anymore.
The way you are.
Move out.
Yeah, I feel you.
But like some of the work I realized, there's actually a thing called affirmation addiction.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, wow. Reading it, I was like, this seems like me. I identify with all of this.
Yeah.
Where it's just, and I think that was part of my problem too in like in this journey of record making too, of like wanting to please everybody, wanting everyone on my team to feel proud of me and also heard and like seen. And so I'm like constantly asking what everybody else wants.
Right. To make sure you're the temperature of the room's all good. Are y'all good?
Everybody good. Everybody good? Everybody happy.
Does everybody liking
me? Liking me?
Is everyone happy with me?
Are you an Enneagram 3?
I'm a 4. So I live 4. At the bottom of the drain of my feelings. It's terrible. I do not wish a four on anyone.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Allie's a four.
I have a little four wing. I have a four wing.
Okay, so you know a little bit.
But
you
I'm a three. It. Well, sometimes.
It would be hard to be a three. Achiever would be tough. I mean, the three. Tough.
So that's the people pleaser.
And you always got to be going, doing, like it's next thing.
Checking the goals. I am not successful until I check off 20 things on my list today.
That's hard.
That's exhausting. That's exhausting. So, there's lots of work to be done.
Kaylin, I think you're doing an amazing job. And I'm just so inspired, like proud for you, like that you did this album yourself. And like you were so real and so vulnerable. And like you talk about like the things that go on in our minds and mental health. And like you're just like literally, I feel like you just keep stepping into your greatness with more and more with each each move that you make. And it's so cool to see you always are getting, and it's not about the validation, but I mean it is, because like you do this and you want it to be received. So it's like,
yeah, I want people to hear it.
Yeah. But you're doing this authentic, real stuff, and you're getting like, it's getting received. Like that's the thing that is so awesome. It's like you're being you, and like you're not chasing it, you know. I don't feel like you are. I feel like this is like just as real and as raw as you can be.
I don't feel like I'm too tired to chase. Yeah. I'm chasing like a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old around. I can't be chasing everything.
Have you liked this journey? Have you enjoyed the journey?
It's so funny. Someone else asked me that the other day, and it's like, it's not very often that I sit still and reflect back on like the whole, like, how do I feel like this whole thing has gone? But I have liked this journey.
All of it? The highs and the low?
Oh, I mean, for sure the lows suck. Nobody likes the lows.
But they're kind of beautiful,
like,
on the other side.
It's also like when you look on the other side, it almost feels necessary.
Agreed.
Like, because if I haven't gone through those lows, like, I wouldn't have grown in this way to get me to this place. And so, I mean, this record, writing this record and kind of living in the highs and lows has really given me space to honor both, which is good. I mean, honoring the good things and the bad. I mean, for sure, I wouldn't wish it. I wouldn't want to do it again.
I know. But it's like you've earned it. You know, it's like you look back and it's like, wow, you really earned this
totally,
life.
Totally.
You've sucked the marrow out of it, you know?
Yes.
Because like you got to have it all. This dualistic world, I think about it all the time. I'm like, I'm not cut out for this earth. Like, I don't know why I'm here in earth school. Like, this is too.
Earth school.
Yeah.
It's so hard,
it's
though.
It's too hard. But then it is beautiful on the other side. And like you being able to put it into music is like such a gift for all of us.
Man, thanks.
Okay, so I always wrap up with Leave Your Light. Oh, and it's just an open-ended question, basically. What do you want people to know?
Oh, I love that. It's hard to drop one nugget of light. This is like Leave Your Light.
You can just, whatever comes to mind.
Yeah. Man, there's just so many lessons that I've learned coming out of this season of making this record. And I think the biggest lesson that I had to learn was to tune out the other voices and to get real still and to try and ask myself what it is that I want. And I think that what I found was some of those things were scary, but that even if I marched into that and pushed into that, like marching into the scary places, and I've heard that other people say this too, it always results in growth.
Yeah.
It always results in you becoming a little bit better version of yourself. Even if you fall flat on your face, like you're going to learn and you're going to grow. And so, so I think, The takeaway is that choosing to just really believe in yourself and take a chance on yourself, because we only get to do this like life thing, right? Like one time, like why not do all the things that you can come up with in your brain? If they are scary.
What holds us back?
What's the worst that can happen?
Right. What is the worst? What do we think the worst is?
I mean, what is the worst?
It doesn't work out.
It doesn't work out. Is it failure? Is that the worst thing? I mean, I guess we die. Like, we're going to do that anyways.
Yeah.
But we fail.
But like, what is failure? You know? Because you put yourself out there and you did something big. So.
Right.
There's a payoff for that.
There's a payoff. I was talking to my mom the other day and like she's considering going back to school. She's 60.
Awesome.
And I just got real with her and I was like, I feel some apprehension, like what's going on? And she goes, well, I am just a little scared. And I was like, well, what? She's like, I'm afraid I'll fail. And I was like, what happens if that really like play it out? And she's like, I don't know. And she was like, well, I guess other people would think I'm a failure. And I was
people
like,
would make fun of me or laugh at me.
And like, it was interesting because it was a conversation that I was having with her, but I was really having with myself.
Yeah.
And I think everybody kind of has these things in life. They're like, what if I did this? I don't know. I don't know if I can. But I think, why not?
I know. And I feel there's always someone in our mind who we're scared. Like, I don't know. It can date back from like your childhood or someone that you've admired or someone that you know that like, for me, there's always like a few people that I'm like, if they find out that I fail, and they don't even probably know I'm doing anything.
No, they're not thinking about
they're not
you.
Even thinking
for
about
sure
me.
They're only thinking about themselves.
Yeah, exactly. But like, if they find out that I failed, I'd be so embarrassed. But like, they don't even care.
Right.
No one cares.
No one cares.
Yeah.
Just do your thing, man. Make your magic.
I love it. Caitlin, amazing. So you are on tour right now.
On tour. The Great Pretender Tour. Oh, amazing. It's a solo tour.
I love
it. Which is so fun. So just me and my guitar and piano and stories.
Amazing.
So.
And then you're going out with Little Big Town and George Strait. I mean, just, you know.
Good times.
No biggie.
Just a couple, you know, artists like that. What?
That's awesome.
So excited.
You're so awesome. Caitlin, thank you so much for coming over. This is so amazing.
Thank
I love your album.
So
I love your music. I just love you. You're awesome.
Same.
And congrats on your nomination.
Thank you.
You're going to win.
Oh my God.
Yes.
I just puked.
Okay. Thanks, Caitlin.
Thank you.
Bye.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.